listening to the CCA Podcast.
So glad you're here. We are thrilled to be together in this growing community at Calvary. And considering the times that we are in right now, it's crucial. Community is a lot of people are shying away from, as you can imagine, in our great city. And I have many friends who are pastors who have actually shut the doors of their churches this morning. And so there's a lot of just unease going around, but I'm just thrilled that you would make the trip and be out here on a Sunday morning. We're actually moving forward with great momentum, and we're launching a series today called Get Your Hopes Up. So, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't do it with stupidity. We do it with our brains, but we do, we're better together. I'll just say that. We're stronger together. And so anyway, my name is Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea.
Hey, everybody.
We're the lead pastors here. If this is your first or second time, I welcome you. And so we're all about one thing here. We're all about Jesus. Yeah. We're all about helping as many people as we possibly can find and follow Jesus here in Seattle and around the world. And so we're glad you're here this morning. If we can agree on Jesus, we're off to a great start. Yeah. And so our mission here is to do that, to help as many people as we can find and follow Jesus. Now, last week you had a brace on your arm. Yeah. This week it's not there. What's going on with that?
So I went to the doctor for a follow-up, and they said, we don't see a fracture. It's healing. It's going to be in pain for the next 2 to 3 months. So just you can take it off the sling and just kind of assimilate back into life, which is fun. It's really fun. It's just nice to be free of that, honestly. And so I'm just kind of taking it a day at a time. I'm still doing a lot of things with my left hand and just subconsciously like keeping this up high. But otherwise, I'm doing great. So thanks for your prayers. They're working. I'm feeling better. And so we're just going to move forward with that.
We've also, this week, we're excited because we also have something going on. Why don't you let the people know what you and I are doing? The Deacon Board has approved us to take a week away to focus on prayer and planning for the future. Why don't you just maybe share your heart there?
Yeah, we're really appreciative of the Deacon Board who had approved us being able to go away for the next couple days out of town to be able to do nothing but pray, study, and just formulate a vision for the next couple months as far as sermons go. The Lord's put some things on our hearts, so it'd be nice to have that time away from all the everyday responsibilities to be able to put that stuff into stone and really have the opportunity to dream and think and pray back to the Lord what he's put in our hearts. So we're excited for that time. If you can pray for us while we're away, we're going to be gone for this week. And just ask the Lord to just anoint and let this be a time of inspiration. I'd really appreciate it because it's going to be really cool. I think it just benefits all of us when we are able to have a time away to just think and get refreshed and get some of that new, fresh vision from the Lord. So it's good. Very good. Very good. What are you doing?
Well, you know, I need a different extension cord. I don't think this one's going to work. Let's see if it works.
Let's see.
Praise the Lord, it works.
Okay, it works.
Don't you love it when things work?
Amen. Amen.
So I'm getting all my fun stuff out here because this morning the Lord has given me a word that I think is a now word, a rhema word, an encouraging word, and I'm blessed. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she amazing? Everyone always tells me I married up. Dr. Don Ross, every time he's here, he makes sure I know you've married up. She's amazing in every way. I'm blessed. Are you blessed this morning? We're glad you're here. We launch a new series this morning, Get Your Hopes Up. This is week number one of Get Your Hopes Up. We're going to be talking about how to share your Jesus story with Seattle. Share your Jesus story with Seattle. And that begins by you and I getting our hopes up. This morning, we're looking at Philippians, and the next few weeks, we're going to be looking through the book of Philippians, Paul's epistle, his letter. And I'm excited this morning. We're going to start in the first chapter of Philippians, and we're looking at verse 20, and I'll read that verse. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. Get your hopes up. Calvary and share your story of Jesus with Seattle. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 says this, I eagerly expect and hope. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted. Paul's narrative is a narrative of hope. And this morning, the big idea, if I could just articulate what the big idea is, it's the good news narrative, which says Jesus can bring transformation to the most hopeless of lives. The big idea this morning is the good news narrative. Jesus can bring transformation to the most hopeless of lives. Reminds me of the story of the two identical twins. And these twins, these girls, they did everything alike except one thing. One of them was a pessimist. Saw everything as glass half empty. Dark-minded. Just could not get over the hump of negativity. The other one, the other girl, the other sister, was an optimist. A glass half full type of perspective, and everything was amazing to her. Well, the parents were very concerned about this because things just began to get more and more extreme. So what did the parents do? Like any good parent would do, they took them to the doctor and they had them evaluated. And the doctor came up with an idea. The doctor said, here's what we're going to do. On their next birthday, give the pessimist a really, really nice bike. Shiny bike, best bike you could ever buy. Just surprise him with a really, really, really nice gift. And said, and the other girl, give him a pile of manure. What? They said, that's really extreme. That seems, but extreme times call for extreme measures, so they did it. And sure enough, the one sister opened up and saw the shiny bike, state-of-the-art bike, and she, you know, her first words out of her mouth were, yeah, I'll probably just fall and break my leg. Well, sure enough, the other sister, box with a little bow on top, and she opens it up, and it's a box of manure, and she kind of looks puzzled, and then she drops it, and she runs outside as fast as she can. She's screaming, no way, no way, you can't fool me. With that much manure, there's got to be a pony. Let's see it. There she is. How cute. A box full of manure. I wonder in this place, I wonder in our great city of Seattle, what's the lesson? I wonder how many of us have been gifted a box of manure. I wonder if we're in a situation right now that's a little stinky, a little out of our control, a little uncertain, and we have a decision. How will we respond? Paul. Let's talk about Paul. He wrote the book of Philippians. He wrote the letter, his epistle to Philippi, the saints there. Paul, follower of Jesus. You know, he also experienced the gift of manure. Let me read to you. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases what Paul went through and the gift that he was given. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians. Listen. Paul says, I've worked much harder. I've been jailed more often. I've been beat up more times than I can count. And at death's door, time after time, I've been flogged 5 times with the Jewish 39 lashes, beaten by the Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed. Are you listening this morning? Betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. He goes on, Paul says, and that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and the anxieties of all the churches. Boy, that's a box of manure if I've ever heard one. That's a whole lot of stink. Paul, in Philippians, chained in a dirty, stinky prison cell, he focuses his Philippians writing on gratitude for his missionary partner's support while single-mindedly proclaiming hope for all. We're in Missions Month. This is March, and every month with a fifth week, we consider it Missions Month here. And so this month, I want to encourage you, please be in prayer with us for our missionaries. We're gonna unfold a little bit more in terms of missions as the weeks progress. This morning, did you get a little missions brochure in your, did you get that when you came in? We give that specifically because those are our 70-plus missionaries that we support. We've taken on two new already in 2020. We're looking to move forward with momentum and take on 20 new missionaries total for 2020. No, we won't do that every year, but this year God's given us a vision for 2020 to do just that. Would you pray with us in that? And if you don't give to missions, this is a great opportunity. Lene and I have done this since we've been married. We give to missions every single month. Someone once told me, if you don't have vision for the future, you have no future. This is one of those ways we as a church, capital C, get behind Mission Matthew 28. So Paul's in a prison cell. How is the tone of Paul's story so hopeful? He's been through so much, and yet he's so hopeful. Here's the lesson that I found in reading this book again. You read this letter and you read the narrative of Paul, and none of Paul's circumstances contributed to his joy. Yes, he wrote from jail. Yes, his life's work was under attack by competitors. Yes, he had decades of hard travels, but still there's a joy. There's a fullness. There's an overflow of hope in his story that he shares. Just like the optimistic daughter that got that box full of manure with a bow on top. Circumstances were incidental compared to the hope experienced on the inside of Paul. Paul shares his story. He shares his story, if I could submit this thought, not just with Philippi, but he shares his story this morning with Seattle. Three takeaways from Paul in Philippians Chapter 1. You have it in your notes. Number 1, prayer rewrites negative life scripts. You read through chapter 1 and you can't get away from this point that's highlighted. Prayer rewrites negative life scripts. Listen to what he says. Listen to the transforming power of prayer. Listen to this. Paul says, I always pray with joy. I always pray with joy, being confident of this, read it with me, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I heard about maybe half a person, so we're going to read it again. I always pray with joy, read it with me, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can you be confident even in the midst of uncertainty? One of the coolest things was in one of my morning times with Jesus, my coffee with Jesus. By the way, this morning, 5 a.m. felt like 4. It was early. You got it. Okay, yeah. It's one of those dad jokes that I always kind of have to, you know. One of the coolest things that I felt in my spirit in those times was when the Lord just, and he repeatedly does this to me. He impresses on me. He says, Ryan, I'm not done with you yet. It's like, you're for me, God. You're with me, Lord. You're working in me. It's what is that? It's confidence. It allows me to pray as Paul did with joy, knowing he's not done. He's not done. Even in uncertainty, even in difficulty, he's not done. Could it be he's saying the same thing? Whispering to you this morning, hey, I'm not done with you yet. You see, in times of hopelessness, in times of depression, and even despair, the question is, will we let difficulties drive us away from God or to God? This past week, I got a video that came from our Assemblies of God, our national superintendent. I wanted to share it with you. He speaks directly to the issue of COVID-19, the coronavirus. Check this out.
Hello, Assemblies of God family. Doug Clay here. I'm calling on our church to pray in our weekend services, particularly for the coronavirus and some of the panic, fear, and chaos that it is havocing in our world. In fact, as we enter into weekend services, let's keep in mind a couple of things. Number one, that as people of God, we should be driven by faith and not fear. We're a part of a global family. In fact, Italy is one of the three most effective nations. Just earlier today, the Assemblies of God Italian family chose to encourage their members to pray the strength and the power of God's word. I like that. So in your prayers this weekend, let's remind our people of Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and minds. Let's remind people of Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So in addition to all of the practical and preventative things that we can do, let's this weekend call on God and His canopy of protection and healing and supernatural intervention to be a part. Also, let's pray for people and areas who have been greatly impacted by this virus. Let's literally pray for God's healing power to show up and to be manifested in people's lives who have contracted this virus. Also, I think it's important to pray for our scientists, our researchers, and those in the medical community as they seek to provide solutions to combat this virus. I would also ask you to pray for our missionary family and our global partners whose ministries and programs have been interrupted in some of these areas. There have been some scheduled conferences and events that have had to be postponed because of travel restrictions. Missionaries who've had to come home as a result of this. Would you pray that God would just canopy His protection over them and give the church leadership wisdom as we steward their callings? Finally, I want to pray for an awareness of the coming of the Lord. You know, these kinds of things were predicted in Scripture. In fact, when these occur, we're to lift up our heads. So let's not forget that not only is Jesus our Savior, healer, and baptizer, He also is our soon coming King. And our blessed hope is in His soon return. So these disaster occurrences really should awaken us to pray for and share God's hope to a world that's looking for hope. Thank you, Assemblies of God family. Thank you, Assemblies of God churches and ministers, for joining me in praying that fear wouldn't take over, but the peace of God, the love of God, and an urgency of taking the message of Christ to a world that needs hope would prevail.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? What is that? That's hope. Come on, church. We got to get our hopes up. One of the greatest ways we can stop the fear epidemic that we're living in is to pray. I've come to realize that hope is believing, is praying, and then trusting in someone larger than myself, larger than my relationship issues, larger than my joblessness that I walked through for 8+ months, larger than my finances, believing and praying to someone larger than my health issues, larger than what's going on right now. Hope. It's time to get our hopes up. It's time to share our Jesus story with a city who is so desperately in a time of crisis. So Paul encourages, he says, this is my prayer. Remember, prayer rewrites negative life scripts. Prayer rewrites negative narrative. And he says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And what does he say? Read this with me. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. He uses words like love, that your love may abound, that you may be filled. What's he talking? He's talking filled to overflowing. That's the language that Paul is using. That's the narrative of what. How can he do that when he's in chains? Surrounded by hopelessness, surrounded by people in despair, surrounded by uncertainty, and yet he says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Get your hopes up, church. Prayer rewrites the negative life scripts. Prayer unleashes Jesus' hope that rewrites the story. It's so cool. I want to give you just a picture of what happens at 5 a.m. with me and Jesus. So this is one of my favorite cups. You'll see why. And it just so happens to be a Bob Ross cup. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? It's a cup that says, we don't make mistakes, we have happy accidents. His little sayings, his little quirky, I just love him. I just love him to death. But this cup here, this represents what happens a lot of times with Jesus. And this is specifically with the thought of being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. You see, in the mornings at 5 a.m. when I spend time with Jesus, I don't do it just to do it. I do it because he fills me. Have you had a cup of hope lately? Have you taken time to let the warmth of his love fill your spirit? This is what he does. Because a lot of times I walk in and I'm despondent. A lot of times I walk in, I'm discouraged. A lot of times I walk in and it's almost as if things just look bleak. It's almost as if things are just hopeless. And then Jesus fills me. And he fills me. And I take time and I get alone with his word and I let the truth of his word begin to sink in. And what is he doing? He's changing, transforming the most hopeless, the most bleak, the most black, the most unbelievably hopeless situation. And he paints a new picture, doesn't he? He brings what once was dead back to life. What is he doing? My prayers with the Lord, my time with God. What is it doing? It's such a simple illustration to show he's changing the script. Amen. And Paul says very emphatically, the fruit of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness. This is my prayer, that your love may abound, Calvary, that your love may abound, Church of Jesus, in a city like Seattle. During a time like COVID-19, coronavirus, as it's spreading and as the epidemic of fear is taking over, even in churches. Have you had a cup of hope lately? Have you let him just fill you back up? Paul's story reveals the timeless truth that true hope is only found in a dynamic, personal, one-on-one relationship with Jesus. If there's anything I can encourage you to do this morning, find time to have coffee with Jesus. In this time, more than now, more than ever, find time to let him fill you with hope. Perhaps the next chapter of your story is to share with Seattle, to share with your neighbors, to share with the world that Jesus changes everything. Three takeaways from Paul in Philippians chapter 1. Number 1, prayer rewrites negative life scripts. Number 2, courageously proclaim the gospel. Paul courageously proclaims the gospel, even in chains, even in despair, even surrounded by hopelessness. Why do we struggle? Can I ask a question? Just why do we struggle to live life courageously? Real talk. Real talk. Why is it that we struggle? I mean, if you look through the Bible, this is no new thing, right? I mean, from the beginning of time, God is saying what? Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. It's okay. Take courage. Take heart. I mean, over and over. Are we in one of those times? Are we not in one of those times? Most of us live in the antithesis of courage, don't we? Come on. You and I both. Let's be real. Overwhelmed by circumstances. What does that look like? Feeling out of control. Have you ever felt that? Huh. Having nothing to look forward to. Being isolated and alone. Beating yourself up with regret, anxiety, despair. Is that part of your story? It's been part of mine. And you know what? It's beautiful. Wait, what? Yeah. It's really kind of cool, actually. Wait, why? What? Well, I'm following the lead of the Apostle Paul, and I'm following the lead of our Savior, who bled and died on a cross, was murdered, betrayed by those closest to him. And you know what? The story ends with life. Because the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ says that God can use your prison of pain and chains of crisis. So this morning, can you be confident? Can you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Even when in a time of uncertainty, even when in a time of pain. Listen, there are people, I'm hearing stories and stories as this coronavirus thing is taking off. I'm hearing stories of people connecting with people I know. Aren't you? I mean, it's insane. This thing is just taking off. And what do we do in the middle of this? Do we hide? Do we fear? Do we despair? No. We get our hopes up. Amen. We get our hopes up because the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ says that he can use the pain of a prison and the chains of crisis to bring transformation and change a city. Look at the word of God says. It says, as a result, Paul says, as a result of my uncertainty, as a result of my prison, as a result of what I'm in, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. Listen to this text. And to everyone, it has become clear to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Did you just hear what I read? He is in the worst situation he could be in. They want to kill him. He's in prison. And he says, as a result, it has become clear to everyone else, I'm doing this for Christ. In other words, what's happening? He's preaching Jesus. He's courageously proclaiming the gospel. And he says, the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. What is that? Share your story. Share your Jesus story with Seattle. That's what that is. We're going to proclaim hope. Jesus' hope was experienced in the middle of manure. We have such an intimate look in this book. Just such an intimate look into the diary of Paul's theology. I mean, this is important stuff. Though he's a prisoner facing potential death, he is courageously happy. He is hopeful. His hopes are up. Here's what the scripture says. It says, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. That's his hope. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage. Sufficient. What is it? More than enough. Overflowing. Abounding courage in the face of hopelessness. I love Eugene Peterson. When you read this chapter in the Message, he says, Paul articulates it this way. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. Is that awesome? That's why Paul could say in Romans 1 later on, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God as unto salvation for those that believe. What is that? That's courage to proclaim the gospel. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. I'm curious, what does your pulpit look like? You know that we do Alpha every Wednesday here. It's a place to explore faith, explore life, explore meaning every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. If you're new to the church, it's a great way to get plugged in. If you have a friend that you want to bring with you, a neighbor that you want to bring with you, new to the faith, it's a great place to start. It's also a great place to deepen your theology and to walk that next step in terms of discipleship and Christian formation. Alpha. Well, one of the Alpha meetings, there was an individual. She came to me. For her privacy, I won't mention her name, but she comes to me and she says, you know, they told me I had 6 months. I said, what are you talking about? She showed me her fingers, and it actually, I knew exactly when she showed me her fingers, because my father's fingers did the same thing when he was going through chemotherapy. And she says, but I'm here. She's very soft-spoken. She says, yeah, back in September, they told me that March was it. She says, but maybe my story continues. Maybe a new chapter is about to be written in my life. Maybe God's going to use this as part of my story. What's your pulpit? They didn't shut me up, Paul says. They gave me a pulpit. Chained, he says it. Surrounded by stench and filth and despair and hopelessness. They didn't lock me up. They gave me a pulpit. What's your pulpit? Could it be, friends, this morning, that it's not just cancer, it's a pulpit? Could it be this morning that in my life, what I bring this morning, it's not T1D, type 1 diabetes, maybe it's really a pulpit. Maybe today it's not just COVID-19, maybe it's not just the coronavirus, maybe it's a pulpit for Seattle Declare. To declare Jesus. Maybe, I don't know, maybe could it be that it's not HIV in your life? Maybe that's a pulpit. Maybe your last time you sat around in a circle at AA, maybe that's not just an AA meeting. Maybe that's a pulpit. Maybe it isn't a bad break that you've experienced this week. Maybe, just maybe, it's a pulpit for you to share your Jesus story with Seattle. Oh, I could tell you over and over how it hurts to not have a job for 8+ months and wonder in uncertainty and feel despondent. But I found that if I get my hopes up, it's not just a prison, it's a pulpit. Maybe your divorce this morning, come on, are your ears awake? Maybe your divorce isn't just a divorce, maybe it's a pulpit. Maybe that betrayal that you've experienced, maybe homelessness. Come on, Calvary, maybe your aches and pains. It's hard to get up sometimes when you fall and you're weak. Nobody sees it except you. But maybe those aches and pains, come on. Maybe that's a pulpit God can use for you to share your story. Aging, come on. Maybe that's a pulpit this morning. Share your Jesus story with Seattle. So Paul says, I will continue to rejoice. Chained. I will continue to rejoice. Why can he articulate that way? Because he knows God promises salvation. Because he's a prisoner of hope. Listen to what the prophet said. Rejoice greatly. The same language. See, your king. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus. Your king comes to you, righteous and having, say it loud. Salvation. Yep, that's what Jesus is in the business of doing, saving. Gentle and riding on a donkey. By the way, this prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew, the 21st chapter, which we refer to as the triumphal entry. So the prophet says, there he is, gentle and riding on a donkey. Hundreds of years before it happens, he prophesies and he says, return to your fortress, you prisoner of, say it loud, hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. What is the prophet saying? What is Paul saying? That it's only after experiencing God's restoring word that you and I, prisoners of hope, We'll be filled with courage to lead others to Jesus. We'll be filled with courage to help others find and follow Jesus. Our story can be the same as the prophet. Our story can be the same as Paul's. Get your hopes up this morning. I know there's despair out the doors, but get your hopes up and know that you can share your Jesus story with Seattle. So three takeaways from Paul in Philippians chapter 1. Number one, he proclaims that prayer rewrites negative life scripts. Number two, he courageously proclaims the gospel. And number three, this is a big one. You pull this out of the text that unity in Christ allows hope to overflow. Would you agree with me that a good story always involves relationships? Life is about relationships, and Paul's narrative in the Philippians text is all about his relationship with Jesus, number one, and it's all about a relationship with his growing church community of friends. He highlights that remaining united as one body is the key to a fortified faith. Remaining united, one. He says this, he says, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith so that through my being with you, again, your joy in Christ Jesus will what? Overflow on account of me. I love that language. I will continue with all of you. What is that? That's united. That's togetherness. Can I ask you a question? Are we united or divided? That's a broad stroke question. Are we the United States of America? Are we? Are we a church? Do we really reflect the first century Acts 2 church that was in one accord? Are we really? You see, despite differences regionally, ethnically, or even socioeconomically, we are all better together. I've learned to say it this way. We is always going to be better than me. It just is. We is better than me. Uncertainty is not the time to divide. Uncertainty is not the time to separate, but it is a time to unite in prayer. You've heard me talk about it, and we actually did something about it this week. We did a dry run of the Jesus Loves Seattle, first annual Jesus Loves Seattle National Day of Prayer Walk. Thursday, May 7th, 7 a.m., downtown Westlake Park. We're starting there. We did a dry run this week. It was awesome. We shut the office down. We took the staff, 13 of us from the staff. We went down there. We started at Westlake. We went south on 4th. We went down to Cherry Street. You know what I'm talking? Went down to Cherry Street downtown, took a left, which is east on Cherry Street, headed up the hill, took a right, going south again, now on 5th Street, right in front of the police headquarters, the courthouse. You know what I'm talking about? Then took another right there. We went west on James. You know what we're doing? We're circling the mayor's office, the city council. Then we headed north back up on 4th. And what were we doing the whole time? Praying hope for all Seattle. We circled the mayor's office. We went down major avenues where people, you could see hopelessness. You just look in people's eyes, you can see it. Many of us in this place this morning, I've been looking around and you're in a sitch. You're in a circumstance. I can see it in your eyes. Hurt. Crisis. And what do? In the middle of all that, we pray hope. And so we go down there, and you know what? I could have gone down there by myself. Yeah, I could have done that. But how powerful it was to walk with 13 believers together from the church, praying hope for all Seattle. I'm believing on the 7th of May that we are going to have a large crowd as we get the word out to different churches and we partner as a city to pray hope for all Seattle. Times of crisis call for coming together. Paul is saying, whatever happens, listen to this scripture, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens with coronavirus, the word of God says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He says this, emphatically, he says, stand firm in what? In one spirit. Contending what? As one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Paul is saying unity in Christ allows hope to overflow. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Share your Jesus story with Seattle. Jesus is the hope of the world through a unified church. Paul says, live in, read it with me, harmony with one another. Say it again. Live in harmony with one another. I'm just going to walk right on over here, and I'm going to close with this idea that harmony in the church is a big deal. Unity in the church is, and I'm not just talking Calvary, I'm talking church, capital C. We've got to pull together. We've got to work together. We've got to pray together. We've got to weep together. We've got to have laugh together. We've got to come live in harmony with one another. Because here's the deal. If we don't, listen, this is, are your ears awake? If we don't live in harmony, here's what the world hears. Jesus loves Seattle. Jesus loves Seattle. He loves you. He came all this way to save you. Don't you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life? I can preach the paint off the walls, but if I'm not in unity.
That's right.
You see, everybody is so, this brings me to tears. Everybody is so all about being heard. I got an opinion. You're wrong. How could you cut me off on the road like that? Yeah. Your theology is bad. Yeah. It doesn't take coronavirus to isolate you, to quarantine you. Paul says unity. Unity allows the hope of Jesus to overflow. The Church of Jesus Christ is all about unity. The Church of Jesus is all about coming together. Because if we don't, there's conflict, there's discord, it's noise. Church, we are not in a place where we can be disjointed, because that, you know what that is? That's like an every man for himself thing. You know when it's every man for himself? Retreat, run, and hide. You know what that is? That's when you're losing the battle. That's when there's no hope. Just give up. Every man for himself. Run and hide. Take care of your kids. Get it. No. It's time to get your hopes up. It's time to get your hopes up and share your Jesus story with Seattle. Unity is so strong. We're better together. We is better than me. Our narrative is not retreat. Our narrative is plug in. Our narrative is unite and pray. Our narrative is Jesus, because the Jesus story is full of hope. Because God offers hope to all in a place of hopelessness. Now more than ever is our time to go. United, we're stronger. United, we can go farther and do more. United and in one in spirit, as the Bible says, we can reach Seattle and the world by unleashing the hope of Jesus. You and I both, we can do it. This is our time. This is a moment for the church to rise. This is a moment for you and I to shine in our city. This is a moment for you and I to go out and to pray like we did down right there in front of City Hall. We prayed to the north, and then we prayed to the east, and then we prayed to the south, and then we prayed to the west, and we covered the city, and we prayed hope for all Seattle. We united, and it was powerful. It wasn't noise. You know what it sounded like? It was like this. This is what we did right there. We sang. Thank you. are welcome here. Come flood these pits and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. And Lord, singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come on, sing it. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. And Lord, do we not need God's presence in our city? Isn't hope in his presence? Isn't hope in Jesus? I wish you could have been there with me, right there on the steps of the city hall, praying and singing as a group of 13 and believing the hope of Jesus for all in Seattle. I wish you could have been there with me. You can be. Put it in your calendar now, Thursday, May 7th. I want to close with this thought. This Jesus Loves Seattle project, it's so simple. What a simple, practical, good deed thing we can do together. Would you help me? Please, this week, would you help me? Here at Calvary, by way, if you're watching on the internet, would you help me do one of two things? Would you help me go to our website, ccassembly.com? Just go to the website. You'll find the link to click on it. You can find a URL, a link that you can click on and find the books that this school needs that we can help donate. Buy them and then bring them to church next week. We'll bless this church. We'll unleash hope. You see, people need hope. Any little glimpse of hope, any little light of hope in this uncertain time is a big deal. And you know what else is kind of fun is if you don't know how to do that, well, what? Click on that and click on that. What do I do? Well, in your bulletin, you'll see there's a little number. You can text give to that number and just make a donation to JLS Projects. And we'll just do the buying. We'll buy the books for you. It's that easy. There's two ways you can help. Would you help me this week unleash hope in a simple, practical way? Your story can be filled with overflowing hope. This morning, I just want to ask you, would you open your heart to Jesus and invite him in to pour into you, to speak to your situation, and to fill you with overflowing hope? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? That is the word of the Lord for us this morning, Calvary. And I want to invite any in this place who don't have joy or peace, like Paul was talking about in his story, who don't have hope, and you've been in a place of uncertainty. You don't know what's next, and you just feel like, man, I've tried everything, and I can totally relate because I've done it too. I've tried social status, and I've tried position, and I've tried different jobs, and I've tried substance abuse, I've tried sex, I've tried eating, overeating, undereating, I've tried it all. I've tried. If you're anything like me, and you've tried a lot of different things, one thing I found out was the only thing that gives me hope, the only place, the only person I have found joy and peace in is Jesus. You heard me talk about my relationship with him this morning, and I want to extend an invitation from God to you this morning to follow Jesus. And it's as easy as putting your hand up when I count to three, and I only ask you to put your hand up if you want to accept Jesus and follow him. I only ask you to show your hand so I know who I'm praying for, and because we have a special Bible gift that we want to gift to you for a next step in your walk with Jesus. So when I say 1, 2, 3 and I ask you to put your hand up, would you just slip your hand up and I'm going to pray with you and we're going to give you a gift and we're going to walk this out unified together. 1, 2, 3. Do you want to accept Jesus this morning? Go ahead. Yeah, and go ahead and just keep your hand up. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Go ahead and just keep your hands up for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We want to give these precious people privacy in the moment. Very good. You can put your hands down. And would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Father, I need you. Please cleanse me of all my mistakes and my sins. And help me to live wholeheartedly with you from this day forward. Unleash hope in my life, God. I found you today, and I follow you. In Jesus' name. Can we all stand together in this place? And I want to pray this prayer of blessing over each and every one of us. I want to pray that the God of hope would fill you. Listen. This is my prayer for you, that the God of hope would fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may the Lord bless you and protect you in this culture. Listen now. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. Give you the grace for today. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. If you received the word of the Lord this morning, would you say amen?